Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I want to speak this morning about faith and its relationship to humility. And the title of my message is Humility in Our Faith. Humility in Our Faith. We do have on the pillars here notebooks. If you want to take notes, feel free to get up and get one, because I have quite a few notes to give you today. But I want you to consider this. I'm trying to focus on the theme of humility this year. As you notice by the plaque behind me, that's just going to be a theme that we'll learn to apply to different areas. Last week, for instance, we took the subject of correction. And we talked about how important it is to have humility when corrected. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God corrects us, and God often uses people, sometimes people we don't like, to correct us. We talked about David and how God used Nathan to correct him, and David yielded to that correction humbly and was forgiven and became a better man. We talked about Asa last week and how Hanani the prophet was used by God to correct him. And Asa responded to that correction with pride, and pride manifests itself in anger and rage and wrath, and he took the prophet and he put him into prison and he began to oppress other people. And these were both good men. David and Asa were both good men who responded completely differently to correction. One with humility, one with pride. And I want to do about the same thing this week, only the subject's not correction. The subject is faith. The subject is faith. There's some people walking around the church nowadays who think they're giants in the faith, when actually they're little peons. They can't take trials. They get angry. They get bitter at God when the first little bit of a trouble comes. They have a little financial trouble, a little health trouble, a little family trouble, a few problems with the kids, and all of a sudden it's like, how can God let this happen to me? And all of a sudden we see that their faith really wasn't that much at all. See, this verse tells us we need to have humility in regards to the capacity of our faith. Let me read it again. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." This is a reference to humility, not thinking highly of yourself, but thinking soberly. That means being real. Being real, thinking soberly. "According as God hath dealt to every man the capacity," or the measure of faith. Every one of us is at different capacities in regards to faith. Every one of us is at a different measure of faith. Some of us, I think, would honestly have to admit, those of you that were in Sunday school this morning, that you probably couldn't do what Nick's doing in Bulgaria. It would crush you. You'd last a day or two or a week. But he's been there 3.5 years now by the grace of God and by faith in God. "For the just shall live by faith." And we thank the Lord for the measure of faith God has given him. God's not expecting you to live by that measure of faith, but God is expecting you to analyze your faith where it is and then get it growing. Get it growing so that we will become greater men and women of faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is a set of beliefs. Faith is a set of beliefs. If I asked you today, what faith are you? You would understand that, you know, you'd answer. Anybody in the world would say, I'm Christian, I'm Buddhist, I'm Muslim, or whatever. Faith is a set of beliefs. B, faith is taking someone else at their word. Faith is taking someone else at their word. That's what faith is. And then C, faith is trusting someone else and their abilities. Faith is trusting someone else and their abilities. Faith is taking, for instance, God at His word. God has given us the Bible. And if God says it, it's true. It doesn't matter whether you or not believe it or not. But we ought to get to the place where we believe it because God said it. If He said that He created the earth in 6 days, you believe it. That's faith. If He says He created it in 6 seconds, you believe it. That's faith, no matter what God says, taking Him at His word. Faith is trusting someone else and their abilities. Tomorrow, when my wife and I get on the airplane, fly to Chicago, we are putting our complete trust in the pilot and his abilities to fly the airplane to Chicago. And we're putting our trust in the integrity of the airplane. And that's what faith is. Faith is trusting someone else and their abilities. Salvation is when you trust Christ and His abilities to save you. That He is who He says He is and that He did what He said He did. When He is the Son of God and He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again and took His blood into heaven for our justification. The Father, looking at the blood, said, I'm satisfied with the payment for sin. If anybody on earth will trust in my Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior and believe that His blood can save you from my wrath, I'll save that person. You just take God at His word and you trust in Christ and His abilities. That's what faith is. Now, there's different kinds of faith, and I want to give you several tonight. Today, a few of them here, maybe six if time permits. There's more types of faith than just these, but I want to kind of just build on these, and I'd like you to take a humble look at your faith today. A humble look at your faith today. Humility in our faith. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Walk around saying, I'm one of the great giants of the faith. Yeah, well, what have you done with it? Because faith without works is dead. James said, don't tell me about your faith. Show me your faith. What have you done with your faith in the Lord? And so let's get at it now. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. Faith is not something you can hide. It manifests itself. It manifests itself in trust. It manifests itself in works. It manifests itself in works. And people who have faith attempt things for God. Now, I want you to notice, number one, there are those with no faith. There are those, number one, with no faith. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. There are some that have no faith. The Bible says so. There are some men who have no faith. I'm reading Deuteronomy 32:20 right now. Don't turn there. It says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see that what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. There are those who have absolutely no faith. That is, no faith in God. Now, this is a very serious issue. Because in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Anyone in this room today can decide to diligently seek God, and you will enter into a rewarding life. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Now, this matter about no faith is very serious. I hope it doesn't describe you today, because the end of this doctrine, number one here, is found in Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there are those on this earth who have no faith in God and no faith in Jesus Christ. They are called the unbelieving or unbelievers. And the end of that, they cannot please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. It says, these unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, we have no excuse as human beings. If we have enough faith to trust some human being to fly an airplane and take us from one point to another in our destination, we can appropriate that same faith toward Jesus Christ and ask Him to save us and take us to our destination of heaven someday. There are those with no faith. Even sometimes as believers, there's areas where we have no faith. Luke 8, verses 23 through 25, Jesus said to His disciples, "Where is your faith?" You know, it's easy sometimes for all of us to have faith in certain areas of what God has said. But boy, other areas we still struggle with, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to notice now, if you'll turn to Luke chapter number 12, that there's a second type of faith, and that is little faith. Little faith. Number two, there is little faith. Some have a little faith. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 28, it says, "If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Notice here that there is those with little faith. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things to the nations of the world seek after." In other words, that's worldly. "And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what the piano and the viola just played. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Now notice in verse 28, there are those who have little faith. And what is the manifestation of a person who has little faith? If you read the context going back to verse number 22, they're always worrying about things like clothing and money and security and the things of this world. And how am I going to pay my bills? And how am I going to make ends meet? These people often go out and get jobs on Sundays because they have no idea how God might provide for their needs in any other way. And I just want to say to you young people, as you enter into the job market, I want to encourage you, before you ever do, to get a concrete conviction in your heart that you are not going to work on Sunday, that there's no job on earth that's worth it. There's no job on earth worth it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You need to have the continuity of the Christian life in your life, uninterrupted as much as possible, and that includes church attendance and fellowship. You need to do things like getting into your Bible every day and praying every day and witnessing and going to church every time the doors are open. And you need to have some convictions about this matter. The root of the problem is not a job or money or security. It's little faith. It's little faith. Jesus said the manifestations of people with little faith is they're always worrying about the world. They're always worrying about how am I going to make ends meet. I've heard that 80% of Americans' thought lives, when analyzed, have to do with finances. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to make the rent? How am I going to make the mortgage? How am I going to get out of this credit card debt? And their whole life becomes consumed of it. And our Lord taught the opposite. He said, take no thought. Don't think once about it. Just put me first. And all these things will be added unto you. So there's those who have little faith. And he goes on and says, trust God. Sell what you have. I'm amazed at how many people who say they can't make ends meet, and you go in their homes and they got huge plasma TVs and they got internet service and cell phones and all kinds of things just things that gobble up their money. And they're off to the restaurants 2-3 times a week. and so on and so forth. We need to get some priorities. And it ought to be Christ and His kingdom first. And you'll put Him first and your faith will grow and God will start providing for you and God will start doing miracles for you. And you'll pillow your head every night without any worries on how God's going to take care of you. I don't know when the last time was I ever worried about money. And that is a glorious liberty that I want all of you to enter into. And many of you know what I'm talking about. It's a wonderful thing that Christ wants to set us free, but it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And then there's mixed faith. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark in chapter 9. There's mixed faith, and I have this mixed faith sometimes. You do too, as we'll notice. Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. See, children can be demon-possessed. There's a lot of this today. In the church, I believe the more and more we see this is more and more evidence of the church having lost its power to influence the generations of children growing up. He said it was a faithless generation that had produced children like this in his day. You see that? It was a faithless generation. And that's why children were like that. He brought them to the disciples, they couldn't do anything. Boy, we've got to start praying, folks. We've got to start turning the television off and doing some fasting. And oft times, verse 22, hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want you to notice a mixed faith here. A mixed faith. Got the job done, but it was a mixed faith. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want you to notice that this man, this father, this unknown father, was an example of Romans 12:3, our text this morning. Remember the Bible says, don't let anyone think more highly than they ought to, but think soberly. As God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I believe it was a statement of humility when he said to our Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When was the last time you ever heard someone confess that? I think we're too proud nowadays to say, I need your prayers. I don't have enough faith to believe God in this matter. When was the last time you heard someone make such a confession? My faith is mixed. I know God can do this, but there's a part of me that doubts. There's a part of me that wonders. See, this is the sermon this morning. Applying humility to our faith. And saying, you know, my faith, I think the Lord honored this guy because of his honesty. Because he was willing. Christ knew his heart anyway. But you know, it helps to verbalize it sometimes. It would help all of us if we just quit walking around thinking we're giants of faith. and start to say to somebody, you know, I've got this area in my life where I am struggling in my dependence on God. Would you pray for my faith to increase? You know, the disciples over in Luke 17 and verse 5, they prayed a wise request. They said in Luke 17, rather, in verse 5, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's good, isn't it? That's humility. That's humility. When we come to Christ and say, Lord, you know my faith isn't everything that it ought to be. Would you please increase my faith? That word increase means to add to it. Would you add to my faith? Would you give me a greater measure of faith in you than I have? For the just shall live by faith. You know, all of us, if we're not careful, we'll live with a mixed faith. You've probably seen people, I've seen people, I've done it myself as I've been in the Lord these 37 years. I've done it myself where somebody preaches the Bible and says, amen, preacher, God bless you, hallelujah, preacher, so on and so forth. Then he gets on something else that we don't want to hear. And we say, well, that must not be for today. It's a mixed faith. It's a mixed faith. We're doing too much picking and choosing when it comes to the Bible. We're getting our little scissors out and cutting things out and saying, well, that's not important today. And I know there's different dispensations. I understand a little bit of that doctrine. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What's the Lord saying? He's saying, don't mess with my commandments. He's saying, even if it's a little commandment and you don't think it's for today, then you keep that in your heart. Don't tell anybody about that. He said, if somebody doesn't keep the least commandment I ever gave them and tells other people it's not important, that man's going to be called the least in the kingdom of heaven forever. Don't tamper with the word of God. These people are writing new versions and so on and so forth. We're criticizing them, but sometimes we do the same thing with our mouth. We say, well, that's not important. This is 2007. God can't expect us to live that way or dress that way or act that way or behave that way or something. Don't you see the whole world's changing? No, we better keep our mouths quiet and keep that in our hearts if we think that way. But if you think there's a commandment that ought not to be obeyed today, you don't dare tell someone else that. Man, God doesn't like it when people trifle with his words. He says he'll take their part out of the book of life. That means those things that he was going to give them, and that word part means a compartment and what was going to be allotted to them will be taken away from them and given to somebody else who is faithful. Mixed faith. Thank God for honest, humble people who say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Increase my faith. I'm not a giant. People might think I'm a giant in the faith, but I'm not. God, help me. God, help me. We need to have humility in our faith. And then in Luke 7, we see number 4, there's great faith. There's great faith. And what is it that really tells us that someone has great faith? In Luke 7 and verse number 6, it says, and Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now for time's sake, skip to verse number 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Number 4, there's great faith. And what made it great? This was a centurion. This was a Roman guard who had 100 men under him. He was a powerful man. He was an esteemed man. He was a man who had been elevated in the ranks of the military. But he had a daughter. I'm sorry, he had a servant. And the servant was sick, nigh unto death. So much they all thought he's going to die. There's no hope for him. And his friend said, you know, if we can just get Jesus to come to our house, Jesus can heal your servant that means so much to you. And praise the Lord for a man like this who does get way up in authority and way up in position, but he still cares about servants. Thank God for men like that. And so these people go out and they say, Jesus, you got to come. This man is worthy for you to come to his house. The centurion says, wait, what's going on here? I didn't send these guys. And he sends another group and says, tell the Lord not to bother. And you see what he says? He says, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you in the first place. All you have to do is just speak the word. I don't need to see a performance. I don't need to see a miracle. All I need is for Jesus to speak the word. That's great faith. Great faith is people who don't look for miracles, don't look for signs, don't look for wonders, don't put out fleeces. They just say, if the Lord said it, that's good enough for me. That's great faith. John the Baptist was a guy like that. It says about him in John 10, verse 41, it said, John did no miracle, but all things that he spake of him were true. He never did a miracle. And the Lord said, he's the greatest prophet that's ever been born of a woman. See, great faith is when you and I get our eyes off of miracles and wonders and signs and fleeces and thinking, well, God, if I'll do this. If you'll prove yourself to me, I'll continue in this. No, that's not great faith. Great faith is saying, I'm going to do this whether it works or not, because God said it. I'm going to do this whether God blesses it or not, because God said it. God said it, I'm going to do it. I don't care if anyone else in Faith Bible Baptist Church does it. I'm going to do it because the Lord said it. That's faith. That's great faith. That's great faith. And then there's victorious faith. In 1 John 5 and verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want you to notice here, victorious faith. See, these are the people of faith. These are the people of victorious faith. The one who is living on the victory side. We got enough people in the church today who are still succumbing to addictions, temptations, sins. Every day it gets them. Down they go. Depression, melancholy. And pastors and missionaries spend a lot of energy trying to pick these people up constantly. But the one who has the victorious faith becomes the what we call low maintenance church member. He or she just stands, and day after day after day, the trials come, and the temptations come, and the pressures of life come, and the temptations come, and by the end of the day, they're still standing. Why? Because they have learned to put their faith in the Holy Spirit of God, not in their own flesh. They've learned to put their faith in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and they know how to use the Scriptures when Satan comes and tempts them. They've learned the truth. So many can quote it. So many say amen to it. But so few practice it. They've learned the truth of 1 John 4 and verse 4 when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they're on the victory side. And they're not constantly falling. And you don't have to go to their house all the time and visit them and say, hey, where have you been? Because they have learned the truth of victorious faith. Victorious faith. And every day in their weakness, they get down on their knees and they spend a season in prayer with God every morning and say, oh God, give me your power. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I am weak, but thou art strong, Lord. Lift me up. Hold me up. Withhold me by thy right hand. And they put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the Lord said so. And that's what faith is doing what God says. And you don't have to constantly go see these people or write them or call them or send them notes or anything else. Folks, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. And that is the victorious faith in the all-powerful God. God is greater than any temptation. When God became flesh in Jesus Christ, he was taken by the devil out into the mountain, driven into the wilderness, and tempted of the devil for 40 days, 40 nights. He neither ate nor did he drink. And yet he got so physically weak, two angels had to come from heaven to minister to him. But he never once succumbed to a temptation of Satan. That's the same God that lives in us. Victorious faith. Victorious faith. I don't know about you, but I just got to the place where, in my life, where I just made a decision one time. I had a little talk. And I said, Satan, you have had enough of my life. You've wrecked enough of my life. No more! My God's greater than you are. And I'm going to depend on him. And I've been trying to depend on him every day. Yeah, I know I sin and fall from time to time, but the Lord just keeps lifting me up. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Folks, you need to have victorious faith. Now be humble about it. Be humble about it today. It took me a lot of humility. It took me to just break down before God in tears one day and say, Lord, I am a defeated man. This is too great for me, these temptations, but they're not too great for you. Would you please help me? Would you please help me with this? There's not an addiction one person has in this room, but that our God can't deliver you from it. It's not one. We've got 2,000 years of human history behind that statement, where God has delivered people for several thousand years through the power of Jesus Christ. And then I want to close. There's a followed faith. A followed faith. We need to have a following faith too. Every one of us has to exercise this to some extent. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 7, it says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We need to follow those who have been in the faith before us. We need to follow those whose faith is greater than ours. While I was in Sunday school, I had a flashback this morning. And I thought about, there were some teen boys sitting over here and some over here, and I was thinking of Brother Nick Malucci talking about all the things God's done, the miracles in Bulgaria and Varna and up by Istanbul. And I had a flashback to when I was a teenager sitting in the West Falls Bible Church and listening to the missionaries that would come through. And I would just sit there like, well, I hope someday I can be one-tenth the man that missionary is. I remember thinking that way when I was a teenager. And see, at that stage in my life, I had to follow their faith. Whose faith follow? Their faith. Why not follow someone whose faith is greater than yours? You know, instead of someone whose faith is small. This is how God set it up. Whose faith follow? Those that have the rule over you, those that have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, whose example follow. I can remember having to follow the faith. He was talking about tithing in Sunday school this morning. I remember having to follow the faith of others in that area, because the first time that was presented to me, brother, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I argued with God. I said, no, God, you don't understand. I need more money. I don't need to give any more away. You know, God, you're telling me the opposite of what I need. I need more money. I may have to take a second job on here or something. But, you know, I had to follow the faith of those that were greater than me. Because I had folks in the church I was brought up in who tithed for decades and decades and decades and had the miracles to prove it. God said, prove me now herewith. Test me out in this area. And so one day I just had to swallow my pride and humble myself in regards to my faith. And I said, now, Lord, if you've done it for these people, you can do it for me. Now, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I don't quite believe all this stuff. I've got that mixed faith about tithing here. But here we go. Here we go. And back there in 1979, I began. And 28 years later, I wouldn't think of starting. I don't care what anybody says. I wouldn't think of stopping tithing if somebody offered me $1 million and challenged me to. I wouldn't think of stopping for the world. But I had to follow someone else's faith. Now look, we follow the faith. The pastor, the missionary, is the one whom God gives the vision to for the growth and the direction of the church. And these 24 years, this is what the Lord has done here at Faith Bible. And I feel unworthy of that, but he reveals the vision to me. And I believe it's God's will that we should start 5 churches along the coast of Lake Erie in the next 25 years if God tarries. And maybe God has never laid that on your heart. But I remember when I used to be under pastors, I used to say, boy, that don't make sense. But that's what the pastor said. Let's go. I'm in. Count me, pastor. Makes no sense, but I'm in. I'm in. And you fathers, listen up in closing. Your wife and children ought to be following your faith. I'll give you a verse on that. Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. See, fathers, you are leading your wives and you are leading your children. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. I do not have dominion over your home. I don't have dominion over your faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not as though we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. But you need to have the vision for your marriage. And you need to have the vision for your children. And you need to get it from God. And he ends up saying this, happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. What do you allow in your home? Well, I just don't have the pastor's convictions or the pastor's standards. Okay, what do you allow? What is your faith practicing in your home? What do you allow? I just hope you don't condemn yourself. I hope you don't condemn your children by what you allow in your faith. You can sit there and be nitpicky and say, oh, Pastor, he's always on this and always on this, and that's not for today, and I don't see anything wrong with Christian rock. Go ahead! But I hope you don't condemn yourself in that thing which you allow. And I hope you don't condemn your children. Happy is the man, condemneth not himself, that thing which he allows. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself. You better have your own convictions. But have your own standards. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer today. We've talked about faith. And this thing about humility we're speaking about this year, it applies to faith. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. I'll be the first to admit publicly this morning, I need God to increase my faith. And how does that happen? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Mark 4:24 says, unto you that hear shall more be given. Brother Nick was talking about going to church all the time. I wouldn't miss Sunday night church. I wouldn't miss Wednesday night church. I wouldn't miss Sunday school for anything. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 says, our faith will be on trial someday at the judgment seat of Christ. The trial of your faith more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, God wants it to be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not only will we be judged, but our faith will be judged that day. Are you living by faith? Do you have the works to prove it? Do you have the works to say yes? If not, can you be humble about it this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The piano players are going to begin softly playing a song of invitation.